Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On Tuesday of this week, my back went out spectacularly. Not halfway, spectacularly. I was at the refrigerator opening the door, and I went down. Now, anytime somebody's back goes out or you're ill, what do? You call the doctor, and I did so right away and asked for some fix-it pills. Now, we know that prescriptions don't work instantly, and we have to sometimes deal with the condition for a while. But there's a condition that's worse than a bad back, that's worse than any illness, and it's the condition that Nehemiah was dealing with in this story. He was dealing with the condition of discouragement. And it's a terrible condition because it saps the life out of you. Have you ever been discouraged? It's a terrible condition. Nehemiah found out that the place where he called home, the place where he had all his hopes and dreams, was in ruins. And that every time people tried to rebuild Jerusalem, something bad happened. Now, Nehemiah had a wonderful job. He was the king's butler. He had no worries. He had the influence of being a foreigner in the king's court. The king apparently liked him very much and appreciated his work. He had no reason to go to build the wall, but he had passion, and he wanted to do this for his people. So he went to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And the minute he arrived, the enemies began to taunt him. That's the first problem when we're discouraged, is usually it means that people have ridiculed us or criticized us. And I have a prescription. It was one that Nehemiah used. When Sanballat and his cronies said, "You're going to build the wall? Oh, are you going to build the temple too? You know, if a fox went up on that wall, it would crumble. You know you're not going to be able to do it." And instead of answering his critics, he spoke to God. He gave it to God. He was not going to waste time trying to defend himself or his people to his critics. So he gave it to God. He prayed. And he said, "Lord, it's in your hands. I can't do anything about this. It's in your hands." And then he started to work. One thing I loved about Nehemiah was, as he worked, he prayed, and as he prayed, he worked. He didn't stop. He just kept praying, and he kept working. So he must have said a wonderful speech or something that got the people together, because it says all the people had a mind to work, and they built the wall halfway up, and then more opposition came. Anytime you want to do something good, in battle that you have to fight, it's many. The opposition came again. Ridicule wasn't going to get him to be deterred, so then there were absolute violent threats against this group. Not only that, there started to be problems in the inside. The people who were working were getting disgruntled, and they said, "This work is just too much." Now, they had already built half the wall and done it well, but now they were complaining, "It's too much." And then some other folks came in and said, "You know, when they attack you, when these enemies attack you, they're going to attack us also." And the idea was, we have to stop. But Nehemiah was not going to stop. He prayed again. And what he did along with praying was he gave everybody a concealed weapon. Now, I don't encourage that in the Church of Jesus Christ today, but at that time they had to defend themselves. So he had half the people had swords in their hands while the other worked, and then they'd switch and they'd just go back and forth because they were going to be ready for anything, but they did not stop the work. There's a wonderful tourist attraction in Bermuda. It's wonderful and awful at the same time. If anyone has been to Bermuda, have you seen the unfinished cathedral? It's this magnificent stone edifice. All the walls have beautiful carvings. You can see it took a lot of time and thought. There are beautiful walls, but no floor and no ceiling. And I looked on the tourist websites about this particular unfinished cathedral, and the number one reason why it was not finished was infighting. The people had a mind to work for a while, and then they began to bicker, and the work wasn't done. Sometimes the church is its own worst enemy. But Nehemiah and his people decided that they were going to build the wall and that nothing was going to deter them. The second prescription is, whatever the problem, we continue to work and we continue to pray and we continue to do what God wants us to do. When Robert was 12 years old, he came to me quite upset. Now, this is a young person who had never seen homelessness up close, and he had gone to the Lutheran Mission Society to deliver some food for his school, and he saw homelessness up close. And he was so upset about it, he came to me and he said, "Mom, I want to do something about it." I said, "Okay, why don't you call them and see if there's anything you can do?" So he called. And they basically brushed him off because he was 12. And they said, what can a 12-year-old do? He called the next month. He couldn't get through. No one would take his call. So he kept aggravating me about it and getting after me about it. So I finally called. And I said, I know that a 12-year-old can't do much. I know he can't volunteer right now, but what he wants to do is let other people know how seriously in need you are. And he had talked to his piano teacher and said, we could do a concert for them, a benefit concert, and get the word out. A year went by, and even when we offered a benefit concert, the Lutheran Mission Society said, what can a 12-year-old do? But if you put it together, will come. I thought, oh, well, that was mighty nice of them. They'll come. Long story short, we got his principal involved, and the principal didn't want to be involved because he was burnt out. His teachers didn't want to be involved because they were burnt out. But somehow, because of a stubborn 12-year-old, we got this together. 400 people came to that concert. $2,000 was given to the Mission Society, as much of that in food. There was about another $2,000 in food given and children's books. And then there were people calling me for the next year asking me what they could do for that society. Now, I have to say, I would have very willingly dropped the ball. But I had a stubborn kid who would not. You see, there's much work to be done. And the enemy tries to discourage us in so many ways by criticism and ridicule, by outright attack. But this church has been here 159 years and has gone through two world wars, many other wars, has seen their sons and daughters off, has seen so much grief and so much joy. And I think the next 159 years will be even more blessed if we continue the work that God has set before us. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the tenacity of our ancestors who came here with nothing and built this town. I thank you for the tenacity of those who have come before us who did not look at what they didn't have, but said, yes, we can by God's grace. And I thank you for this congregation and ask that you would inspire us with your Holy Spirit and that whenever we get discouraged, we would remember to continue the work and continue to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and turn with me to hymn number 631, Church Rejoice.